coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, we come to you from, once again, the pitch. You've joined us last time on the pitch when we were doing Super Sports Balls 2. We've gone back to the pitch as we are preparing for, previously mentioned on this show, the 2017 Grabass, Clay Houston Grabass Invitational, which is going to be coming up later this year. We are at the time trials, the preliminary rounds of this, just getting a feeling for what we're getting into, and we figured we would mash that up with our favorite show of the year, our summer fun 2017 Grabass Pentathlon Time Trials.
Absolutely, and this is going to be an exciting day here on the pitch as we have a thrilling lineup of just dynamic, yum, athletic topics to cover.
That is true. I forgot that that we had Cole and his blazer on the sidelines. I need to go put my blazer on. But with us is first time competitor.
Absolutely, you were terribly underdressed. I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm sure the people at home noticed. So put that blazer on because we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about. And I believe you are about to introduce our special guest before I so rudely interrupted.
I am, but I want to do one mic check and see if this still works. I'm Andrew Farmer.
And I'm Cole Houston.
There you go. And with us tonight, first-time competitor, young, hungry, 30 under 30 on the Forbes list. And under 30, period. First-time contributor to Hey Kids Comics, and I believe to the Jedi Cole universe in its recorded fashion, Nathan Kokenauer. Nathan.
That is correct. Been part of the JCU in the games and theory department, but never been on one of our 237 episodes, and we're finally getting his ass on the show.
That's right. Finally. How are you feeling, Nathan? You feel good? You feel like you can you feel you can win this thing?
I'm feeling really good. I got my jersey on. I got no pants on just in case it might be windy. It might be very cold, but I'm ready for anything.
If you don't know Nathan's
former
work...
How very Scottish of you!
Yes, Nathan's former work, you can find him in such luminaries as Nathan Makes Fun of Andy at AllCon. And Nathan Makes Fun of Andy at AllCon. It was great fun.
I had a great time.
You might also remember him from two separate seasons of Onliners, as well as being the Jimmy Kimmel to my Ben Stein on all three seasons of Jedi Cole's Prize Pile.
There you go.
That's right. So, I am your Jimmy Kimmel in more ways than one. I'm vastly much more successful.
So we're bringing back some show favorites tonight, and we're gonna test ourselves a little bit, and test Nathan. Nathan is. Would you consider yourself a comic book fan, Nathan?
I like a comic.
Okay, I'm with that. So we've got four.
Strangely enough, that is the sole criteria one needs to be a guest.
That's right. I like a comic. Just one. That's all we need. Just one.
His name is Kevin Hart.
Oh man.
He's very funny. Have you seen his Netflix specials?
I have. I've also seen his movies. But regardless, we have Cole. What events, Cole? What events do we have tonight?
Well, coming up, our first event in the Pentathlon, the crudely named Pentathlon, since we only have four events, is going to be Liar, Liar, Truth Teller.
Would you like to explain the rules, or would you like me to, Cole?
Well, I will explain that it is an unfortunately named because it's more a variation on two truths and a lie or something like that. So perhaps you should explain the rules of this compelling competition.
If you joined us when we had Catherine last on the show, well, no, not last, but before last, we played this game where
We were actually, it was the, if memory serves, it was the Great Lakes Avengers episode.
It was.
And we tried to fool her into, she had to identify which five members out of 10 potential members of the Great Lakes Avengers were the actual Great Lakes Avengers. The rest were just characters made up by Andrew and myself.
So in a variation of this theme, I have personally created two groups of superheroes, three per group. Two of them are real. One of them is fake. Nathan, you have to choose the fake one.
Okay.
Does that sound like something you can do?
Probably. Now, granted, I do know of at least two, like, pretty obscure superheroes, so I might, if you try to throw me off, I might know them.
You might be a ringer.
He might be. But, Cole, are your rules the same? I know we might have differed on these rules. Are you playing by Hoyle's rules, or?
I'm going to do, this is more of a freestyle round.
Okay.
I want you to present two genuine, bona fide comic book characters, be they hero or villain, and one of complete artifice.
Okay.
And you have to determine who really saw the light of day in print.
All right.
You don't have to determine why, because no one. The comic scholars are still working.
Working that out. So this is game one of the four event pentathlon summer 2017 Grabass Pentathlon time trials. I am Andrew Farmer.
And I'm, of course, Cole Houston, coming to you here live from the outer edges of the back 40.
So without further ado, Nathan, are you prepared to
I don't know sports terms.
With this event?
Not even slightly. Let's
All right,
go.
Here we go. So three comic book characters. One of them is fake. Two of them are real.
All right.
Scud, the robotic protagonist, one of the series of mass-produced android assassins, Scud will self-destruct if his original mission is completed and refers to himself as a cowboy in some of the comics. Now, the thing you ought to understand about Scud as well is basically Scud is a vending machine where you can go drop your coins in. Scud will then turn into or dispense with an assassin that then goes out and dispatches whoever you need him to. Susudio, a freelance bounty hunter hired to bring Scud in after he bails on an assassination attempt and goes rogue. Eventually, she reels that she is a closet robosexual and has fallen in love with Scud. Chowderkeg, a freelance assassin that has been hired to kill identical targets as Scud multiple times. Constantly envious of Scud, he views his assignments as competition. Chowderkeg has a telekinetic ability to cause any sea life to explode, which is the fake character.
Am I able to walk through my thought process on this a little bit?
Please do. We want to see the map.
Yeah. Okay. So Scud, already I'm super into this idea. I have no idea if this is real or not, but I really like the idea of just a vending machine man who also is a cowboy who also has people living in him. which I think is basically what you just described to me.
Hey, you're close. You're close.
Chowderkeg, I'm not down with. Chowderkeg, I'll be honest, kind of sounds like, and this might be like a very specific reference, he sounds like an off-brand League of Legends character, which leads me to believe he could be real. Yeah, like he wasn't made for League of Legends, he was made for like Heroes of New Earth. Like, this is a real specific like vibe I'm hitting right now, but trust me, it's solid gold. And then Susudio is a Phil Collins song? And I feel like, and I might be overthinking this.
Okay.
I think maybe you went with that one because you thought me, the young buck, wouldn't be able to know a Phil Collins song when I hear one. Little do you know, you're messing with a Collins connoisseur. I love me some Phil Collins. So I'm going to say Susudio, fake. Final answer.
I felt that coming in the air tonight, and you're wrong. So
damn.
Wrong. Actually, it's Chowderkeg. Chowderkeg.
No! So you can wipe off that grin. I know where you've been. This has been a pack of lies.
So Scud the Disposable Assassin, a creation by Rob Schraub. Rob Schraub, Dan Harmon's best friend. Dan Harmon, creator of Rick and Morty and Community. So, real thing, Scud and Sussudio are very, very real. Chowder Keg was an invention from my addled brain that now I want to develop into a real Aquaman villain.
I love Chowder Keg.
That is, like, it was such a good, like, joke name that it seemed like, oh, well, someone thought of Chowder Keg before. Like, this has been roaming around in the old think tank for a while.
This is, Nathan, you should know by now the depths of depravity that live in our minds that that we can bring forth.
I get it. You said depths because water is deep. Because
water.
Yeah, because of Chowder Keg. Are you prepared for a freestyle round?
Absolutely. Do we have a beat? Okay.
Do we have a beat?
What we're going to do here with this freestyle round is we're going to delve into one of the perhaps the greatest kingdom the world has ever known, and that's the animal kingdom.
I love animals.
Okay, well, you're going to love this because we are all over the taxonomy here. We're going to start out with Jimbo the Mighty Lobster. Seemingly out of nowhere, the crustacean-like Jimbo quickly became the bane of Chicago. Sporting a carapace-like hide, massive claw hands, a mile-wide mean streak, and a corncob pipe, the cut of this villain's jib was pure evil. Sworn to destroy his greatest enemy, he has known only one massive destructive battle, which he remains certain he won. Secretly, the noble hero that was his foe threw the fight in order to save his city from further collateral damage. When he realized the two were so evenly matched, there would be no worthwhile end to the hostilities.
So that's one.
That's all one. Right. Okay. Another character in an animal theme that may or may not be real. Monkey's Paw. Turning a bizarre birth defect to her advantage, Prudence Morris became the highly successful confidence trickster before running afoul of the superhuman community. Born with a rare physical condition, lateral manibus simia, Morris's right arm and shoulder manifested in an evolutionary throwback that gave her limb the elongated hand, coarse skin, and excessive body hair of an ape. Banking on the common knowledge of W.W. Jacobs' 1902 short story and superstition in general, Prudence made her fortune duping unsuspecting wealthy marks into thinking she was responsible for the good fortune and subsequently an impending tragedy if they did not pay her a sizable fee to avert the dreaded third wish curse. Citing various disasters befalling her doing, she was able to build foolish tycoons out of millions annually.
All right.
There's Monkey's Paw.
Now, our third contender here, the Red Bee. Red Bee. And I'm buying time to find where I wrote down the notes on the
Red Bee. Okay, I was about to say, I have a pretty strong suspicion about this Red Bee fella.
That's right. A classic Golden Age.
It didn't have any story to him at all. Wait a minute.
That's right. What do you know? I'm just making it up. A classic Golden Age hero, Rick Raleigh, donned a costume of red, yellow, blue, and pink to fight crime with a code name seemingly taken from one of those Facebook, the last animal you saw today, plus the color of your underpants equals your superhero name memes. Possessed only of a strong moral compass, Raleigh supplemented his lack of superhuman powers while simultaneously enhancing his idiom with the help of Michael, a trained bumblebee. With the bumblebee's average lifespan of less than a calendar month, it seems likely that Michael, like Shamu, was a shared name amongst a multitude of individual insect companions, that there was time to engage the good fight between a minimum of 12 training sessions a year of replacement bees makes the Red Bee as close to admirable as possible. So your choices are Jimbo the Mighty Lobster, Monkey's Paw, or the Red Bee.
Figuring out these animal boys and girl, I guess. Monkey's Paw was a girl, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Monkey's Paw the girl. The lobster was
Prudence Forest.
Not specific to gender, although I assume lobsters have gender, but I don't know about lobster gender.
They do. Jimbo, the Mighty Lobster. So
okay.
Jimbo is definitely a boy, and the masculine pronouns were used.
Okay. I didn't remember that. But this Red Bee sucks. Red Bee just sucks. Like, this is a terrible superhero, which leads me to believe that it's very real, honestly. Like, that just sounds kind of bad. Monkey's Paw is a very good gimmick, and, like, I'm super into the idea of the, like, wishing thing. Like, that's smart. But that lobster sounds real feasible. But he also...
So you've essentially just painted yourself into a corner.
Right?
I'm aware. Yeah, no, I know. I just wanted to compliment all of them before I eventually turn my back on one of them forever. Red Bee sucks. I think he's real. Jimbo is kind of lame, but reminds me of a One Punch Man character. Monkey's Paw, I think, is fake.
Well, you are a steely-eyed missile man. Because... Are correct. I made up Monkey's Paw earlier today.
Okay.
The Red Bee made his debut in Hits Comics number 1, July 1940.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was like the first. If you watch the San Diego Comic-Con documentary, who made that, Cole? It wasn't Kevin Smith, I don't think.
Oh, it was the guy.
Kevin
yeah,
Spacey.
It was
Kevin Spacey.
Spacey, damn.
It'd be a whole different documentary.
I love comic books.
it just looks dead into the barrel of the camera.
Well, he's good thing.
It might have been. I forget who did it, but there's a whole segment on that.
I know
Red
you're
Bee
talking about.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, Jimbo the Mighty Lobster comes from the pages of Savage Dragon.
Real guy. Real thing.
So very well done, working all that out in your mental brain, and we're gonna trust you weren't like looking at Wikipedia the whole time.
My keyboard.
Are we still losing things here?
I think we did.
Wait, am I going through two?
You back?
Hello.
There he is.
Okay. Let me see if I have anything going on my end, really quick. See if I'm, like, inadvertently downloading something. Nope, I don't have anything going on my end.
It's weird, because Cole and I seem to be able to hear each other fine. I don't know what's going on. It's not a big... We can work around it. I'm not super concerned.
I'm also, on my end, I've been recording my audio as well, just in case.
Okay.
So, you'll have something to work with.
Absolutely. all right, so, and what time is it? We are 2020, okay. Nathan, are you ready for the final round?
As ready as I will ever be, which is not at all.
Okay, so here is the last round from me. Cole has one more round, but this is my last round.
Oh.
This one's tough. This one's super
so that,
tough.
When you were asked you're ready for the final round, it wasn't the final round, mind you.
No, it's my final round.
In that case, absolutely. Yeah,
oh,
I've been
okay,
waiting for
good,
this moment
good.
Today.
So here we go. Ice Cream. Ice Cream was a mutant who felt ridiculous due to X-Men's fantastic abilities. He is a mutant with the ability to transform himself into any flavor of ice cream, including banana split. He heard of their danger room through the mutant community and intended to destroy them. He tried to infiltrate the Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters on the same day as a birthday party Professor X was organizing for Kitty Pryde, having hired Obnoxio the Clown. Ice Cream was detected by Xavier with Cerebro, the signal seemingly overloading the device, which exploded, knocking Professor X unconscious. All ends with Ice Cream basically getting found out by the X-Men and shut down. So that is Ice Cream, the X-Men with the ability to turn into any ice cream, including banana split.
I'm going to say this right now. Ice Cream is real.
Dog Welder.
Right now. I think Ice Cream is real.
Dog Welder. A seemingly average businessman with a good job and a loving family. One day, in an antique store, he was possessed by the original dog welder's welding equipment becoming the current dog welder. His wife and family wanted to help him, however, he was too compelled to weld dogs to people and welded the family dog to his children. As a result, his wife divorced him and remarried a year later.
Just divorced
dog
him?
Dog welder. Dog welder.
Just divorced him. Like, she's just like, oh, press charges. No, we're good. Whatever. I just went out.
Yeah. I need to start a new life.
Lastly, harem. Harem. Complimentary villains are not all that uncommon in comics. The Fantastic Four have the UFOs, Superman has Bizarro, and Hulk had the Abomination. So it's little wonder that there was a villainous counterpart to the X-Men's own multiple man, Jamie Madrox. Ashley Lynn D'Artagnan's mutant power manifested themselves as a duplication of Madrox's self-duplication powers. Unlike the former X-Men and X-Force member, however, this mutant was not discovered by Charles Xavier and trained for the good of the world. Ashley Lynn was a runaway who narrowly escaped the gangland roundup that led to the creation of Cloak and Dagger. She discovered her powers by accident when she generated an exact duplicate that was captured in her stead and dissipated within a half hour of leaving her presence, much to the horror of the other captured children. Realizing the potential for making her life on the streets much easier, she took the name Harem, soon moved from petty theft into building a criminal empire, and had her sights set on the Kingpin, who she would briefly considered marrying before her demise in a raid by the Punisher. Harem. So, your choices are Ice Cream, the mutant with the ability to become any flavor of ice cream, Dog Welder, who literally welds dogs to people, and Harem, who can make duplicates of herself a la Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man.
So, Dog Welder. I want to talk about Dog Welder, which is a series...
Who doesn't?
A series of words I have always wanted to say in my life. Dog Welder, I actually already know about. I have a very, very small understanding of who Dog Welder is, because someone on Twitter went on like a 18-tweet rant about how great... Yeah, that's what happened, though! Like, they started ranting about Dog Welder, and then someone was like, oh yeah, Dog Welder sucks, he's one of my least favorite villains. And someone was like, he's not a villain, he's the hero.
Oh,
and
no.
That threw me off for like a month.
Just ask his children.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, plus Dog...
Well, I feel like maybe that's an aspect we haven't covered. Do the dogs view him as a hero, perhaps? Maybe dogs have always wanted to be high above the rest of the earth.
Jesus. So what's your answer, sir?
I'm going to say, man, I really think Ice Cream is real. But Harem seems so realistic. That seems like a very, like, normal character to exist. I think it's Harem. I think Harem is fake.
God damn, 2 out of 3. You're 2 out of 3. Man,
yeah.
But Cole, I will tell you this. That is the most brilliant backstory I have ever read when it comes to one of our fake characters.
Andy sent me the name Harem and the concept. And he's like, well, I'm on the road right now, so I can't really flesh these out. And like, what, like 5 minutes later?
5 minutes later, that comes through. And I'm like, good God, including the Cloak and Dagger origin story and Kingpin, I would have gone with Scourge. But Punisher is a good choice as well.
Yes.
You know, if we're doing a pop-up video behind the scenes documentary style, I was shocked to find out Ice Cream was real, by the way.
I feel like can I guess on where Ice Cream first came to be? Because I feel like it was one of those Disney Channel cartoons of X-Men.
No, it was straight
what?
Up X-Men. It was
what?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It was straight up real X-Men comic books. There was literally a party with Obnoxio the Clown, which is a real character that fought the X-Men. And almost won, but at the same time, Ice Cream was trying to infiltrate the X-Mansion to kill all the X-Men because he felt ridiculous because all he could do was turn into Ice Cream. This is a real thing. Dog Welder I had known about, but also is one of those characters that every time I see him, I'm like, how the hell did you get this into comic books? But Ice Cream...
Oh, I mean, the thing is, it's going to be ruinous to some of the ones we're not going to use today. We're holding out for later. But the Dog Welder is a member of the group called Section 8.
Right.
And I actually had a whole write-up on Section 8 as one of the potential choices. Then I saw a Dog Welder, like, what the hell happened? And I also came across Ice Cream. He was very nearly our Ice Cream. Very nearly one of the ones I would have had in the mix. But
Ice Cream is priceless.
I've got some – this is going to be more of a mixed bag. There's no real theme for this one.
Okay.
So here's your final kind of your challenge, your freestyle challenge, okay?
All right.
We've got just a whole bunch of different types of characters. First is Cuneiform. Possessed by the spirit of an ancient Sumerian demigod, Antiquities Professor Abraham Alaham spontaneously takes on the malleable clay-like physical form replete with superpowers. Working in tandem, contemporary man of science and Andaluvian entity of myth conjure up powers to fight criminals and supernatural threats alike. This curious hero takes his names from the Sumerian power words that spontaneously appear impressed into his chest, allowing him to create whirlwinds, belch fire, cause tremors, and generate protective force fields, among other powers. The spontaneous generation of an animated field of wheat was perhaps the most curious power exhibited by this character. So you have Cuneiform, who uses the power of Sumerian words in writing that sort of impress into his chest like a clay tablet.
All right.
Next you have Ulysses Solomon Archer. Hey, good buddy, what's your 20? If you're this particular long-haul trucker, it's probably somewhere on Route 666, a.k.a. the Highway to Hell. In the case of U.S. Archer, the road to hell is certainly paved with bad intentions, as he sold his soul to the devil in exchange for a satanic semi as part of an elaborate revenge scheme against a trucker that murdered his brother. To further sweeten the pot of this savage stew, old Archer survived a skull-crushing freak accident that left him with a metal plate for a head bone and the uncanny ability to pick up CB radio signals. If this effed up one-man convoy didn't set out to avenge his sibling while transporting freight across this great nation in the name of Old Scratch.
I love him. I don't care if he's real or not. I want him to live in my life forever.
Ulysses Solomon Archer, the trucker from hell.
I love him.
The one that the Hammer warns you about on his TV commercials about bad truckers. Well, so
didn't. Hold on. Side note. Didn't the Hammer die? Did he die? I heard he died.
Die?
I think the Hammer died.
I thought he and his son were like doing commercials.
No, I think I want to say the Hammer died, and his son now does the commercials.
Oh, it may be. Wow.
Which also, I'm not trying to call his son out at all, but what a way to take over a business.
Well, I bet no matter how he died, somebody got sued.
I would hope so.
They kind of got to let it happen, right? When you're the Hammer, well,
otherwise the Hammer Jr. is going to, he probably would sue God if it was an act, like a lightning strike or something.
All right, you got one more in you?
I got one more. Here's a really compelling character, Paste Pot Pete. Some inventors use their creation for good, some for bad. By way of example, compare Betty Nesmith Graham, mother of Monkees member and NITCAP aficionado Mike Nesmith, with polymer adhesive researcher Peter Petruski. One invented liquid paper and revolutionized the modern office until the desktop computer re-revolutionized it and made the invention obsolete. The other created a fluid yet remarkably sticky glue that, for him, revolutionized criminal enterprise. While in the long run there's big money to be had in the burgeoning adhesives industry, Petruski chose the life of the bank robber, as Pastepot Pete, over tilting at the industrial windmill that is the Elmer's glue empire. The threat of adhesion proved sufficient to ensure a successful criminal career that led to becoming part of one of the most prestigious supervillain groups in New York City. This living cautionary tale illustrates that just because you have a penchant for molecular chemistry and physics does not mean that you have a knack for conjuring up decent working aliases. So you have at your disposal Cuneiform, the mysterious Sumerian god-man, Ulysses Solomon Archer, the damned trucker, literally, and Pastepot Pete, the stickiest criminal in town.
So, U.S. Archer. I feel like I say that I've heard that particular series of sounds before somewhere in my life. I don't know where, and, like, I bet it's something really common.
I love to say particular series of sounds.
Like that phonetic.
You eat in on certain mnemonics in your lifetime.
I've certainly never seen the words, but I don't know that I've heard the words. I bet someone just walked by me on the street and just went, "U.S. Archer," and I just thought, oh, that's interesting. Thank you, stranger.
File that away for some future useless...
Yeah, right? I'll need this later. Sticky Pete is, I think Sticky Pete is real. I trust Sticky Pete.
I trust Sticky. I want that on a button,
right?
Everything about Sticky Pete tells me that he wants to be around. He wants to be forever known.
Oh, he wants to actually, yeah. He's stuck on you.
Yeah, and I'm stuck on Sticky Pete.
Sticky Pete wants to be in love, and I say it's true. Yes, I'm on my way. Sorry, I was doing the Kenny Rogers version, not the Lionel Richie version.
I'm really glad you specified, because I would not have been able to tell you.
Hello?
No.
Is it Sticky Pete you're looking for?
Can you just pronounce the name of the first person again?
Cuneiform.
Can you say that four more times for me?
Cuneiform, 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 cuneiform.
Faith.
Which is the word for the Sumerian alphabet.
Cuneiform is fake.
Are you suggesting that the Sumerian alphabet was a fabrication of...
I didn't say that. I believe in the Sumerian alphabet.
Oh, the character cuneiform.
Yes, cuneiform is not a real thing.
Cuneiform,
I mean, it is.
Is in fact not a real thing.
Yeah!
Pastepot Pete originated in the pages of the Fantastic Four by none other than Stan Lee and Jack
Kirby. God bless him.
And I, for the love of God, Cole, you invoked Mike Nesmith. I almost lost it when you were like, Mike Nesmith. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Who will make a connection between Pastepot Pete and Mike Nesmith's mother?
Right?
To me, though, I thought, oh, the Monkees probably had a fan comic or something, like a comic book of the Monkees doing stuff.
They may well have.
So I figured Sticky Pete, he was just an ongoing character.
Sticky, you made it too real.
The only connection was me trying to do like some sort of Paul Harvey.
Right.
Rest of the story.
You made Sticky Pete too real, Cole.
Yeah, I guess so. I tied him too closely to the reality.
Listen, you flew too close to the sun and your sticky wings melted. That's Icarian.
I will point out, Nathan, that Mike Nesmith's mother actually did invent liquid paper.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Sticky Pete. She invented Sticky Pete.
Right.
He isn't real, but he's around.
Ulysses Solomon Archer was the lead character in Marvel Comics' toy license adaptation US-1, which was based on a slot car racing set where you raced semi tractor trailer cabs against each other.
There you go.
Why do I know US
and somehow they connected the US-1 electric trucking toy to the Great Satan.
Well,
I don't know how Lionel felt about that.
Well, the way it works is if you run all 18-wheelers backwards, it actually says
Hail Satan. That's why they're backing and they have to have that beep, beep, beep,
yep.
So the lay people don't hear Hail Satan.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't beat it, though, for getting things around. So you got to go with it. You don't have a choice. Yeah. Oh, my God. Nathan, you were 3 of 4. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
That is a passing grade, and that's what I want.
But we are not we are not out of the woods yet, because we move on to our next game. Well, we'll do a little palate cleanser here, because I want to talk about cosplay. Now, Nathan, you just came from where?
Anime Expo in Los Angeles.
And as you listen to this, as you guys know, San Diego Comic-Con is happening as we record this show. We don't get to go, and we have feelings about that we'll discuss later in the show.
Absolutely.
But also, Infinicon is, we are on the horizon. We are in the event horizon of a Finicon happening. You can't see what's happening because we're right on the edge, and it would drive you to madness and insanity if you could look past it, which is what it's done to Cole. But my question...
That's why I keep doing more and more for Infinicon and Alcon every year.
That's right. So my question for you guys is, what would be the most ridiculous cosplay idea that you could come up with as part of our, you know, this is our floor exercise, this is ribbon dancing. What would be the most ridiculous cosplay idea that you could come up with if nothing was an object, and I would like to know why you would like to do it. What do you got, Nathan?
So mine is actually a two-part situation.
Okay.
Partly because I had an idea, and then someone already did it, and, like, I saw the person who did it at Anime Expo, and I'm trying to pull up the picture of them right now. I understand podcasts are not a visual medium necessarily, but I will also send you the picture of the thing I want you to see.
We will use it for flavor art.
Absolutely. Oh, trust me, you should use it for flavor art. Oh, boy, should you use it for flavor art.
So what's the second part to this?
The second part is the picture of the cosplay itself, because the first picture, I sent it in the actual downloaded form. Please don't download that image. Please don't. Here, there's a link to it. Just click that instead.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Here's my thing. So for all of you listening at home,
that's like the. So was it like, were they wearing an adult diaper for this?
For those of you listening at home, Nathan has just sent us a picture of Toad from the Super Mario canon, with a Toad head and upper torso and lower torso of what I can only describe as what I believe would be a Grecian doorman wearing nothing but a male adult diaper.
I think it's the guy that hands out the towels at the bathhouse.
Yeah, yeah. But my favorite part about the image that he just sent us is that it's on a goddamn transparent background. So have fun with it. Go crazy. Knock yourself out.
It's a very good
Holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa, whatever you want to do.
He's a very good Toad. I can't help it.
So what? Why does this upset you on so many levels?
Upset me? It doesn't. I feel better than I have all day. I really love that it exists. So when I first saw this very good Toad, it's from a YouTube series called Please Retweet. It's the entire series is basically a guy who works for the website Polygon.
Okay.
Has been tweeting at Nintendo this picture for like 6 weeks now, once every week, and he makes a video showing what he's gonna tweet. And then he just sends the tweet every time. And no one understands why Nintendo won't just retweet the Toad. Like, why does Nintendo not want to retweet this picture of Toad? It's Toad. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, well, I think
I can't begin to fathom.
Yeah. So this
Nintendo
is your...
retweets memes. They won't retweet Toad?
So this is your dream cosplay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Would you add anything to this to make it yours?
Let me take a real good look at it. I'm going to zoom in on my end real quick. So sorry if I get distracted. It's a very good picture. I noticed, so Toad doesn't have, you know what, yeah, let's go down this route. Toad doesn't have any nipples at all.
True.
And I think that's inaccurate to the way human beings are made. And now
well,
Toad
is
not.
They may be covered up by his little vestlet.
It's a combination
right.
vest, diaper, nipple cover. Like, you got
yeah.
that diaper up high enough with that vest over it that you're really taking, like
yeah.
three-fourths of the pepperoni out when you got those there.
I think maybe like, a pasty situation could work. My legs are not that tan. I will be completely honest with you today, world.
You could use a bronzer.
I could, or I was thinking just straight spray tan it.
You could be devoted to this
that...
podcast.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like you're particularly devoted if you're not willing to get out in the sun, your legs.
But the thing is, to only tan your legs, you would have to cover the rest of you, because if you look, the rest of Toad is very, and like, I want to make sure you guys are aware, as I'm describing this, I'm moving my mouse over Toad's nipple region. And like, I never really thought about the fact that I'm doing that, but I am.
Really makes you think about things being on a podcast, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why am I not on these more often?
We do try to challenge. We do try to challenge our listeners and our guests, of course, to really think about comics and other subjects in a unique new ways.
And I'm thinking out of space.
And I think we've taken you to places you never dared imagine.
Hold on, I should have saw another picture. I want to do that instead. Actually, never mind. This is now a video podcast in which none of you will see the video. Just that is also a very good picture, and I think I'll do that instead.
Okay, good.
It is a man in a normal. It's a man. He's got pretty normal looking hair, maybe a bit thin near the front. That's fine. Also, there is someone without a shirt on in front of him. Ignore that part. That's not important. He's wearing a nice button-up, like something you would wear to have dinner with your parents, but not too fancy. And what I can only describe as a nightmare death mask.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like someone took an old Ben Cooper C-3PO mask, added human features, and painted it brown.
Yeah, it does. It looks like if Paul Lind was a forest spirit... I think that's the mask he would wear. I think that's
when they asked me at dinner, what would you like to drink? I said Sprite.
All right. Cole,
that's my Paul Lynn forest spirit for you.
What Paul Lynn as the forest spirit? What picture that goes in the
glasses, notes. Sprite, and the brownie.
make sure Paul Lynn as the forest spirit goes into the credits of this show somewhere. What about you, Cole? What would you want to be as a cosplay? If all bets were off, what would you want?
Well, my truly just insane cosplay, personally, you know, on a much more serious note, is if I could find someone to work out the servo mechanisms for the little tendrils and such, is to do one of those painter's stilt cosplays. Like at ArlingCon this weekend, there was a great Groot cosplay going on. There's like 9 foot tall Groot shambling around with a voice changer, and you would look at I am Groot to the delight or horror alternately of children, is to do like Man-Thing from Marvel.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
You know, especially if you get like something to extend your arms where, you know, you can work the finger puppet fingers with rings on your actual fingers. It's like further up the forearm. That way you've got like big long ass, you know, Gibbon arms and long legs and make the thing all tall and shambly, and then have literally where this man thing's where your actual head is up inside the hump, and then man thing's head's, you know, about chest level and is also puppeted. But you know, the thing that's, I love using every part of the joke, and I would love to do be able to put together a costume of our Muggerville 7 character turducken.
That'd be great.
For those of you unfamiliar, is like almost exactly like Angel from X-Men, except that he was born with 3 pairs of wings, which are actual normal-sized turkey, duck, and chicken wings, all sort of layered on top of each other, which, you know, even the combination of three pairs of wings isn't enough to really get him all that airborne. And of course, he has, you know, sets of wings, including the wings of an animal not commonly known for its flight.
Right.
But I think Turducken would make an excellent cosplay.
I think so. See, I
could add one quick thing to the idea of a Turducken cosplay, this is not the traditional Turducken you were describing. I think you should just do a cosplay where there's someone smaller than you also inside the cosplay, and then they hop out.
That's not bad. We never really fleshed out whether Turducken would have a sidekick that possibly...
I vote yes.
Some sort of parasite.
Well, I think maybe, you know, Turducken could also be... You could take Turducken in a different direction where it's like Firestorm.
Oh.
Mm, okay.
And it's three different people that combine.
Oh, that's an interesting...
Like there's a basketball player and a little person and then just kind of an average person.
Quick question. When you say little person, do you mean a dwarf or like a very small, like a child?
Well, dwarf, because if you get a child in the mix, then, you know, then they're like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, kids do complain about cosplay a lot, don't they?
Kids be complaining about cosplay.
That's right.
Hey, kids, comics. Hey, kids, don't cosplay.
I like that idea.
Hey, kids, comics does not endorse that statement.
I like that idea. I think that's a grand idea. I really do. I want to go full furry.
End the sentence. End it right there. Next segment. Let's go.
Semicolon. As Chip, the Green Lantern.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
But a lot of people would do it with just like a chipmunk tail, you know, like in a pair of ears. No, F that. If you're going to do it, go full furry and then pull on your Green Lantern costume over your, I don't what they call it, fur.
It's a fursuit.
It's
a suit.
No, I was informed by Lacey that this is referred to as a fursona.
Oh, okay.
So Chip would be your fursona.
My fursona, right?
Important to remember that you're talking about furries and not furverts.
No, I'm definitely not talking about furverts.
Because like, we
all
don't
the
want
parts
them.
Of my suit would be not unzippable. Like, I would not have flaps or any kind of apparatus that would open up and allow for me to get into what is commonly referred to as a pile.
Andrew, I think perhaps you should rethink this and allow a flap, because you never think about how difficult it is to get out of something until you realize you have to go to the bathroom.
Listen, that's a chance I'm willing to take, my friend.
Do you want to incorporate part of my costume? I can buy you some diapers.
I might need something, but I think that takes you into a whole different realm of weird. If I'm like, yeah, listen, this is my fursona, and under this I'm also wearing male diapers, like adult male diapers. I just looked over and that damn picture you sent is still up on my screen. I'm closing it now. Moving on to the next.
Before we move on, I made a very special image just now while we were discussing the previous.
Damn you!
And I think that would be...
You did this while we were talking?
No, that's gotta go. Nathan's Kokenauer's ultimate cosplay idea. combining the two, like some sort of deformed animorph into... Damn it.
Oh, Cole, dear Lord.
Cole, go ahead and download that image so we can put that right front and center.
No, here, if you want to use that, let me give you the full regular image, which is, of course, killme.jpg.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it should be. I think I sent it. If not, I'll send it later.
All right. Okay. Oh, we'll definitely use this for flavor. In fact, yeah. I'm saving it now.
Yeah, that's awful. That's nightmare fuel is what that is. Jesus, that's the land of a thousand haunted dreams. I don't know even how I feel about any of that, but we're going to move on now to Yahoo Answers. Perennial favorite Yahoo Answers.
Yes.
So I will give up all the credit to Lacey for finding all of these Yahoo Answers questions that we are going to see if we can get better than the Yahoo Answerers. So, are we ready to go down this rabbit hole, ladies and gentlemen?
I am ready to play.
I'm ready for any rabbit hole at this point.
Oh, God, that's the name of my persona.
Rabbit hole? All right, yeah, I got you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So apparently it does have a flap.
Good Lord.
Ironically, all my right. Persona is cat flap.
All right, so here's the first question.
The first question.
Cole, this one is for you.
For me?
It's for you. Is Swamp Thing a good name for my daughter?
Oh, wow. Now, you know, the thing about it is, the irony here is Swamp Thing a good name for my daughter is a question in the last 3 decades. I think I've heard posed more than 7 times. And my go-to answer to is Swamp Thing a good name for my daughter is always and will always be, it's incumbent on your last name. It's like if your last name is Dick, don't name your daughter Iwana.
Right. Sure. Of course.
So if your last, you know, really it depends on your last name. Some last names are not complimentary. And bear in mind, your child is going to have to bear the name, you know, Swamp Thing for the rest of her life. So, you know, if your name, if you say it out loud a few times, try it on for size. If it doesn't work, Man Thing is always your best follow-up.
That's right. Man Thing up at that point. Just get in there and Man Thing up.
Swamp Thing, Coconut Hour. It sounds real good, actually.
I think in your case it would work, yeah.
Yeah, I have a really good last name. Like, it's a very good for, like, just saying last name.
I think even Iwana Coconut Hour works. Any number of names work with your last name.
So, the best one is, the best answer is, yes, it's so unique. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I side with Cole on this one. I'm not agreeing with that. There's so many great ones that Lacey found. I'm having to call through them because we just don't have time for all of them. There are some fairly serious ones that I'm avoiding at all costs because I don't want to open a can of worms. But here's one for Nathan. I've got a question for you, Nathan. Directly from Yahoo Answers, what is the Black Spider-Man's name? That's the question. What is the Black Spider-Man's name?
So I've got 3 separate answers
okay.
for this.
Okay.
The first one, I think this is not a joke. I think his name is Miles.
Yeah, you are correct. Somebody did point that out. Yeah, if you mean the African American Spider-Man, that's Miles.
I was going to say, wasn't the Black Spider-Man's name Venom?
I forgot Venom existed.
Lucky.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, I know comic news. There's a Venom thing happening.
There is.
There you go. This is your exclusive scoop. I just got word from Stan Lee himself. He just texted me a Venom thing happening. That's what the text says.
Is it like Ben Grimm gets taken over by Venom?
What?
Like Venom thing.
Oh, Venom thing. Okay, I thought you were describing the actual story, and I was like, actually, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, I would get behind that.
Sounds great. Never mind, make Venom thing happen. Do that. There you go, Marvel.
Make that a thing.
Answer number 2. Donald Glover. His name is Donald Glover.
Oh my God, I love you so much. You're my new favorite. Wait till we talk about Spider-Man Homecoming and listen to me lose my mind over the best scene in the entire movie, which was the 10 seconds of screen time that Donald Glover got. Yes, that's good. That's good. I like that.
And I don't have a third answer, but I'm going to say whatever the toad thing is. That's Black Spider-Man. There you go.
My favorite answer that was given was Tyrone. But a lot of people sided with you in the sense that it was either Miles Morales or Venom. But I really like the question. What is the Black Spider-Man's name? Thank you for that.
It got me there.
Apparently I copied what is the Black Spider-Man's name like 3 times into this document because it was that good. I couldn't give it up. It's like Rick Astley. I was never giving up with Black Spider-Man's name. Hold on. I'm ginning up another one. Give me a second.
I have the image of Toad on the left side of my screen, but I scrolled up so all I see is his eyes.
Okay, Cole. Here's one for you. What's the difference between Marvel and DC Comics? And did Stan Lee invent every single comic book character?
The mind boggles at where to begin. I mean, we could do like a whole story arc on this one question because the levels and depths to which it should never have been asked in the first place are enough mind boggling. Two different companies and no. It's
the
short
form. Answer.
Because we're kind of tight on time right now. So I'm going to say two entirely different are companies sovereign? Two entirely independent of each other companies and no.
See, I would say yes. I would just say yes. No, yeah, he did. Every single character that's ever been created. Yes.
Every from the Yellow Kid straight through to Jimbo the Mighty Lobster.
Hold on, the Yellow Kid?
Yeah. It's a different time.
Oh, that sounds... Okay. Yeah, I thought so, man. That one's rough.
So, as a non-comic book fan, Nathan, I'm not going to call you a non-comic book fan, right? But as a
casual
comic book fan, you're familiar with Dr. Doom, correct?
Yeah, and okay. Also MF Doom, the vastly superior version of him.
Maybe not, because this question was poised to us. Dr. Doom is immortal or unimmortal? Answer that question for me.
What is unimmortal?
First of all, we need to tackle what unimmortal is, I think, is the first.
Is that like that song Unforgiven?
I think so.
Like, I've unimmortal you.
I don't know. But yes, is Dr. Doom is immortal or unimmortal? ? That's the question.
I think Dr. Doom is probably immortal, but with a little bit of unimmortal kind of mentality, you know? He's like a Highlander. Like, Highlanders, I know this, everything I know about Highlander, I know from watching a documentary about Queen. Highlander, I believe the characters are immortal unless they are not the Highlanders. So I will say MF Doom is immortal, that is a fact.
That's a different
scenario. Dr. Doom is immortal, but with the heart of an unimmortal.
Okay. I like that answer. Yeah.
As the great Freddie Mercury once said, who would want to live forever?
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
The answer is whoever is alive at the end of the movie, which I don't know who it is, nor do I know anyone in that movie.
You need to watch Highlander. It's your homework, pal. I got one more, and then we're moving on.
Sean freaking Connery, mister.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Is he? Hold on. Don't spoil it for me.
And Clancy Jones.
But is Sean Connery immortal?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay, good. Good.
All right.
In the context of the film, I thought you meant Sean Connery himself.
Yes.
No, Sean Connery actually contracted immortality on the set of Zardoz.
Okay.
You can catch it.
Well, when there's that many...
It's a rare condition when there's that many... caused by Ed Uglina.
Shit. All right, Cole, the last question. Are you prepared to answer the last question?
I'm going to say yes, even though I don't know if it's directed towards me, but I'm going to assume it is.
Cole? What's the difference between Wonder Woman and Supergirl? That's the question.
Okay. I'm going to make this as simple as possible for the unindoctrinated.
That's me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you're a good example of someone who may not be familiar enough. One is a strange visitor from another planet that apparently just was firing strange visitors off like so many 4th of July fireworks as said planet was about to implode. The other is alternately has feet, also ankles, legs, torso, chest, everything of clay, or is the one of those Zeusian love children.
Right.
Depending on which angle you want to talk. So one of them is, it's literally the old debate of sci-fi fantasy. One is sci-fi and one is fantasy. One's a little bit country, one's a little bit rock and roll.
That's a great answer.
Cole, I think you're overthinking this. I think the question is just, what is the difference between them? Wonder Woman is a movie and Supergirl was a TV show.
Oh,
there you go.
So simple.
I think even you have overthought that. The difference between them is that when they signed the lease agreement, there was an understanding of who did the dishes on what day.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
To have fallen a little lax, just saying.
Yeah.
That's the difference between them.
All right. I like that. That's a good answer. I think we're moving into our final stage of this part of this Summer Fun episode, the advertising department. Now, we are always...
And I would say, even though we're not quite done, I'm sorry to interrupt, I just have to say that this has been one of the most fun, if not the most fun, Summer Fun episodes since we...
Oh, it's been incredible. It's been incredible.
And that we are very lucky to have with us today one of the most brilliantly witty people
I
have ever met in my life.
By far, Nathan.
I mentioned
that you have been enlisted in our stable, so be prepared. And
all right.
you will be doing a podcast before the end of this summer. Just batten down the hatches.
Next thing you know, you're going to have your own show on the JCU. Just
That's
so you
right.
know that.
Fantastic! It's going to be all about tone.
That's actually the title of the show. Fantastic. It's going to be all about Toad. It's fantastic. It's going to be all about Toad with Nathan Kochenour up next on the Jedi Cole Universe.
So,
also, I want to acknowledge I was going to do a bit here where you said summer fun, so I Googled Toad in a bikini. Let me tell you, that's a mistake.
Oh, never.
That was a bad
never.
Sir.
That's like looking up blueberry pancakes
no,
on Herb Dictionary.
Nathan, you have now crossed the threshold in your young adult life you can't come back from. This is it. You're a man now. You're a man now.
That's right.
It's just a toad in a bikini. It looks real happy about it, too, man.
Why wouldn't you be?
I do want to point out, though, that Nathan, I mentioned earlier that he was the my co-host on all 3 years that I produced Jedi Cole's Prize Pile. And Nathan.
Damn it.
You should be really happy because one image to the right of that is, like, really terrible.
Oh, God, no.
But Nathan.
Cole.
Yes.
I've changed my idea for cosplay immediately.
God.
I'm in. 110% I'm into this.
You now have your new fraternity, or was it?
Fraternity. Fursona. We're going to get so many letters. So many letters.
Well, you know, a lot of furries lose their virginity.
I mean, they do. They do. Damn it.
And it's a very fertile community.
Some of them
will
be virgins forever, but, you know, there you have it. But I want to point out that, Nathan, the first year, if I'm not mistaken, you were 15 years old the first year you co-hosted with me.
God, if I was, I was a disaster of a person.
No,
but I'll agree to it.
Oh, good Lord. You were insanely good. I mean...
Oh, no, I just mean, like, everyone at 15 is terrible.
That's... I mean, you're not wrong. You're not
like,
wrong
no offense
that.
To any 15-year-olds listening. In, like, 3 years, they're going to be all right.
That's right. In fact, from 15 through 17, It was like that James at 16 series that used to come on in the late 70s, and it became James at 17 the next season, and then it got canceled.
Yeah, I wasn't alive for that.
That's right, you weren't. But, yeah, in fact, that had long since been canceled before you were even conceived. So I'll sort of put that terrible thought in your head. But I just thought, you know, from as far back as the point where – because I knew you when you were still in the womb, and as soon as you had a command of the language worthy of stringing enough words together, you have been a comedic genius.
I want to
put out there how thrilled we are to have you.
Yes, we could not be happier that you have joined us, and that's no joke. Like that's. You put the three of us in a room together, and the only thing that could be worse is if we put Eddie with us, and then it would be all over. But which will happen. But in all seriousness, it was an absolute oversight for us to wait this long to have you join us on this show, and we could not be happier or more proud that you're here. Let's get back to the dick jokes.
I think they're just toad jokes at this point.
At this point, they're really. This has been a much cleaner show than I expected it to be.
I was gonna say, like, I've been specifically like not swearing because I didn't want to ask if we could swear. But then also a minute ago, you said shit, and I was like, oh, he'll probably cut that out. I guess we're rolling with it, huh?
You don't know this show, mister.
We use it as punctuation around here, buddy.
Fair enough.
That's how we use it. So, we are always trying to raise money around here, and you know, we sometimes our fancy turns to, you know, well, who could we get to represent certain items if you know, if we were Ari Gold, or if we were Don Draper, and somebody came to me and said, we got the account for I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, and you had the stable of every comic book character in the world at your disposal, who would you put in front of that, and why? So this is a little exercise I like to do. So, Nathan, if someone were – and I know that you're not as versed, but then again, you also know who Dog Welder was, so shut up.
Yeah.
who would you put in front of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, and why would you put them there?
So I personally – I don't know if I've mentioned this character on the time we've been recording. I think I might have mentioned him off recording, but Matter Eater Lad.
Damn it!
Oh, wow!
I put that boy right on top of that cover. So as soon as you look at it, you're like, ooh, well, that guy can eat anything, but he's choosing to eat butter. What does that say about him?
He's choosing to eat butter.
Yeah,
damn you!
He had so many options. He was like, ooh, margarine? No. Butter. But not butter.
But not, yeah, not even real butter. He's choosing a butter substitute over butter. So when he goes out to eat, say, like rocks and iron girders and volcanoes and
toads.
Yeah,
toad people. People that might or might not be toads.
Mummies in the museum is overstocked on and nobody's running locomotives anymore. Yeah, there's a throwback to an old episode, a previous episode. Yeah, it's like. So we put actual butter, and I can't believe it's not butter, on these two pieces of pumice.
A talc.
Ones.
On shelves made of talc.
That's right. Can he tell? Bismuth's favorite son. What the hell was his name? The ironic thing is I knew him by name a while back.
I mean, to be fair, Cole, like, you're pretty well-versed in the comic world. I'm not surprised that you would know Matter Eater Lad on a first-name basis.
I mean...
Like, you two being pals does not surprise me. I remember seeing a picture of him on
Matter Eater Lad, or as I used to annoy Steve, Matter Eater Lad.
I remember that! Why do I remember that?
Probably about the same time someone said Ulysses S. Archer.
You have been in this. See, here's the thing.
This is
you
like
have been
Manchurian
living in
Candidate.
This world through osmosis for so long that it's just listening to Cole and myself and, you know, no end of people that you could have heard any of this from is how this happened to you. I just want you to understand that.
Like, we were talking about Shit Town before the show started. I feel like I am living Shit Town, except I'm the living Shit Town of the JCU. In like 15 years, you're gonna talk to me, and I'm gonna be like, "Well, it's been a real terrible place, but I think I made a few friends, even though the government's shit. But comics are pretty good right now."
Oh my god.
This week's Teen Titans was a good read, huh?
Oh god. Yes, so Matter Eater Lag. Good. I like it. Cole.
That is brilliant.
Cole.
I'm gonna get my I'm kinda going back to the Animal Kingdom here because I'm going with Bessie the Hell Cow.
Oh nice.
Okay. Nice. All right.
From the pages of Howard the Duck and Deadpool.
And Damian Hellstrom and all. Yes, okay. Yeah. I'm with
Son of Satan.
Yeah, I'm with that. Okay, okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, you go right to the source. Because Bessie also does spots for I Can't Believe It's Not Blood.
That's true. Vampiric cows. Vampiric cows. All right, so Cole, I'm going to throw this one at you. I want to know where you're going to come from on this, okay? Fidget spinners.
Wow, fidget spinners.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, it's probably fairly obvious, but I'm going to go with Flash Rogues Gallery, the lower tier member, the top.
Okay. All right.
It seems like the sort of thing that, they'd bring him in kind of like a washed out celebrity to do commercials for a juicer.
Sure.
Just he does like these hour long infomercials. I'm going to go with the top on fidget spinners.
Okay. I'm with that. I'm with that. Nathan, do you have one for fidget spinners?
So, full disclosure, I just Googled the words time control superhero.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because here's where I'm rolling with this idea. My idea is, and also the first result was someone named Sway. So, let's say Sway. Sway. Real name, Suzanne Chan. First appearance, X-Men Deadly Genesis number 3.
Suzanne Chan, okay. Sway.
Yep, I'm going to say her.
Suzanne Chan, all right.
The Google page said Sway, and Google's not allowed to lie.
You are correct. Google is not allowed to lie, they told me. All right.
The whole thing about these things is you want the longest spin you can get. Part of my time at Anime Expo was spent with a fidget spinner, because, boy, lines are long, and they're really boring. So what do? You just sit and spin for a while. And you just try to get the longest spin. That's the whole goal. So I'll say Suzanne Chan, a.k.a. Sway, a.k.a. Sway's Universe on MTV. Shouts out.
Shout out. Shout it out. Okay. All right. I'm with that.
I actually learned something. I was not familiar with the character Sway.
You and me both.
So I got one more, and then we probably should start thinking about wrapping this up. And if you guys stay tuned after the show, we're going to have a very special bitch session about the fact that we can't go to San Diego.
We weren't going to do that, and then the more we saw coming in about the things we weren't going to get to have.
Assholes. Just makes me so angry. So we're gonna do a little one for you at least. One more for both of you. Lincoln comes in. Lincoln Mercury, Mr. Lincoln Mercury, comes in.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, Freddie Mercury comes into the office and says, "Listen, we just had to let McConaughey go. We need a replacement McConaughey." Who are you going to put in front of Abraham Lincoln, Freddie Mercury, Sr., Esquire, III, to be in his commercials?
Okay, well, I'm going to just go ahead and jump in to buy some time for you here. And I'm going to say that when it comes to cars, you want somebody who is familiar, who is comfortable behind the wheel, has a great screen presence, and is perhaps like the brand itself. It just smacks American.
I swear to God, if you are about to say Ghost Rider, I'm quitting.
No, actually, Ghost Rider is really, in spite of what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to do, Ghost Rider is nothing without a hog. So, no.
Okay.
I'm talking about none other than Nicholas Fury.
Oh.
The original Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I just see, like, you know, this vast expanses of country road, you know, out that inexplicably are very well lit, apparently just after a rainstorm that didn't actually get the vehicle itself wet, just the road, with Nick and the Contessa driving.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe a close-up, you go to a close-up of a rose in a vase. And then, for some reason, Fury's shirt is off. And,
I mean, I think we all know the reason, like, why his shirt is off.
There's, like, a cigar and an ashtray. Boom.
Boom.
The 2018.
There's your commercial. Boom.
The 2018 S.H.I.E.L.D. edition.
So, my choice is not a comic character at all.
Okay.
They are a cartoon character who, again, I only was able to find this by remembering I saw a GIF. And I thought, that's very funny. Wonder what that is from. And I Googled it just now and found the answer. And I'm going to say Brett Matthews, a.k.a. Turbo Teen, from the hit animated series Turbo Teen.
Okay.
I can see Turbo Teen. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know Turbo Teen, but somehow I can see Turbo Teen.
There's a very good video of a boy turning into a... Hold on! The video...
Oh, dear Lord.
I think we lost him.
The video has a song from Kanye and Jay-Z playing over it.
Oh.
And it's just very not fitting at all. And I love this video, actually. Let me add this one to my favorites. Ooh, a watch later? Thank you very much.
Damn it. I do want to point out, though, while we await this, that, Nathan, you also are living proof that not all millennials are such a bad thing after
That's
all.
True.
Oh, no, trust me. I can get there. Don't you worry. Okay, I found it.
He's just being nice for his two grandpas.
That's right.
Oh, dear God. Is he doing what I think he's going to be doing here?
He's going to become Car.
Oh, no. Is it Auto Man?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love that his ass. Oh, this is so perfect.
I'm so glad that I can turn this
like
podcast
an
into
chassis.
You have to look at these things.
This is so good.
My God.
This is too good.
He has definitely got junk in the trunk.
This is too good right now.
This reminds me of American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
And Chrysler commercial.
This is too good. Like, I'm accepting this as part of my life now. This is my mantra. I can just watch this all day and I'm happy. All right. Okay.
See a full moon horizon.
Yeah, this has been
exactly like the scene from
This has been your summer fun spectacular 2017. I would like to thank from the bottom of my heart Nathan Coconut for just coming out and just blowing it away. Just not even giving it a chance to be a boring show by anybody's stretch of the imagination. Murdering its face into the ground and never letting up. Just thank you, Nathan. That was amazing.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking at Toad again.
I'm looking at your horror toad that you sent us.
I mean, I don't even know what regular toad looks like anymore. All I know is horror toad.
My life is now horror toad.
Here, I can break this image. Here, while you guys do, like, plugs, I'm going to break this image some more. Don't mind me.
All right. Go right ahead. So
we're, of course,
why don't you plug us up and we'll get out of here.
We are coming to you from the ruins of the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. I don't know if we can even muster an episode next week after this. This is going to be such a – I think next week's episode is Toad on the Road or something.
I think it is.
Toad on the Road.
I think you're right. You can't be wrong.
We're coming to you from JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCU Mail at we're coming to you from JediCole.com. The Jedi Cole Universe, JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCU Mail at Yahoo.com. Watch for tweets from at the Jedi Cole U. And watch for me and Eddie Medina and some of your other crazy characters from the JCU at Infinicon, August 11th through the 13th in Addison, Texas, at the Crown Plaza, former home of AllCon, which will be moving to the Intercontinental in Addison next year. But Infinicon, if I'm not mistaken, has signed on for 3 years minimum at the Crown Plaza. So be sure and join in the fun, because it's been called everything from AllCon's little brother to AllCon 2 or AllCon Junior, AllCon Light. I equate it to being like if you were at AllCon back in 2005 and 2006. It's up and coming. It's going to get bigger every year. Yeah. But if you want to have the same feel of AllCon with, you know, not the crowds just yet, but they're building. Infinicon is really it's like having a second chance at AllCon, and it's a whole lot of fun. Free parking. The bastards at the Crown Plaza will try to charge you for parking, but Infinicon has made arrangements for free parking for those who are attending. So if you can, come on out. Check out Convention Awareness Project Texas, cap-tx.info, to find out about Infinicon and other shows around the entire great state of Texas all year long. Yet again this year, there will be over 100 conventions in Texas in the course of the year, so keep it 100, Texas. And Finicon, is the final stop on the Rancor Pit Roadshow Summer Invasion Tour. Stop 7 of 7. It has been nothing short of amazing. Eddie Medina and I have – I can't wait for next year's Summer Invasion, because this year, our inaugural year, exceeded every expectation. From May the 4th Be With You Day in Burleson straight through to undoubtedly an amazing Infinicon, where I'll also be producing game shows, a talk show, panels, my daily podcasting day camps. You don't want to miss out on that. Lots of fun, a lot of podcasters, how-tos and anecdotes and silly stories and ridiculous stuff like that. So, yeah, Infinicon.
There you go. There you go. You know where to find us.
Finally, yeah, be sure and check out Eddie Medina and myself on the first and third Sundays of every month at our new home for the Rancor Pit Live, DallasOnAir.com, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central, DallasOnAir.com.
There you go.
We got Muppet emojis.
And on that note, say good, say good night, gentlemen.
This animal yelling at his computer.
Say good night, gentlemen.
Good night, you toads of New Hampshire.
Oh, good night, you Ferdinity loving freaks. I'm gonna go put on my diaper and my toad hat and gallivant around my house. But stay tuned. We're gonna talk about San Diego Comic-Con. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.